Hi, my name's Tristan. I'm a first year here at Project Timothy, and my favorite part was going out in the streets of San Juan and praying for people and ministering to them. And I feel like the Lord has really shown me and given me a heart to love and pray for people.
So my favorite experience at Project Timothy would have to be just being able to lead worship here. And it's just such a crazy difference being in the crowd worshiping God and when you're actually on stage worshiping God and you get to watch everyone worship God. Like, the wave of the Holy Spirit washing down on everyone is just something that's like truly life changing. And I couldn't imagine a better time to ever witness something like that. Like, it was actually like, it really touched me in my heart, and it's just the Holy Spirit moves in great ways. And through the Lord has shown me, through my past years in Project Timothy, I've gotten some pretty like big words of confirmation and just some big images people have put in them to talk to me about. And I've gotten images, and it just feels like this year it's been all about what he's said before and putting it now into action. Like, all these roles of leadership he's been talking about, I get to actually live it out this year and get to witness it. And it's like, I'm content with not getting any of those big words because I'm still getting those big words out of actions, and I'm just living through what he's already told me.
Hi, I'm Ella. I'm a third year student here at Project Timothy. One of my favorite experiences this year was leading worship. It was probably one of the most spirit-filled worships I've felt. And also just being able to see all the students being spirit-filled too, and just getting on their knees and really experiencing the Holy Spirit. That was really cool. And it was also really cool to just, honestly, I don't think I've ever felt that like spirit filled during worship. So that was really cool. And something that God has showed me this year is that I need to trust in him more. I'm the type of person who, I want everything to go my way. I want to know what's happening. I want to be able to adapt well. So he just showed me that I need to give him control and really just let him take the reins and trust in his plan and trust that he's working everything out. So, yeah.
Hi, my name is Andrew, and this is my second year at Project Timothy. My favorite thing that we did here was we got to evangelize and pray for people on the streets. And it felt like we just touched their soul. And, like, I feel like we just brought peace into them. And that's what the Lord has shown me as well. The Lord has brought me peace, joy, patience. Basically everything that it taught me. I feel like the Lord has something special for me after this trip as well. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. As Pastor Charles said, my name is Terry. I am one of the pastors here. And my wife and I are lucky enough to get to hang out with your students, and we just want to say thank you and our team. We have such an amazing team that the Lord has put in front of us to do that as well. So today is different. If you haven't noticed already, we just got back last night from Puerto Rico. We flew out last Saturday early and came back. And, you know, through this week, it was the students from here. We've met up with some vineyard churches from Puerto Rico, a couple in Texas, Kentucky, Chicago, Ohio, and really walking through what the Lord is doing in their life, and not just in a way to help them grow spiritually, which a lot of it is, because through them growing spiritually, they've learned kind of what the Lord has put on them, their passions, their desires, what he is calling them to. And so we want to share some of that with you today. So I'm going to ask Trey to come up. And while he's coming up, you know, we're in this series called What Does a Christian Look Like? And so I just love going through the Bible because, you know, even though this was written thousands of years ago, as you'll see in this passage that we're going to focus on today, as true as it was then in their lives and the things that they were going through, it's alive today. And the God of the Bible is still working. He's still pouring out these same words, the same instructions to all of us. And so I've invited Trey up. He is our first student for the day. I was going to use a funny word to describe you, but I'll save that for later. but I just want Trey to be able to share with you guys a little bit of his experience this past week.
Yeah, so this was my fourth year of Project Timothy, and something that was different about this year was I was an intern, which meant I got to lead the younger kids that were there in certain ways that I wasn't able to do the previous years. This was also really good for me because we went to Old San Juan and I had my own group. There was a parent that was behind us, but it was mainly me that was leading. And while I was leading, I had to follow a path where we just evangelized the people that were on that path. But two of the girls in my group had a calling from God. It was to pray for a woman, just didn't have, matter about the age, just pray for a woman, because the whole day we were praying for older people and mostly men. So we were walking down the path, and a little outside the path, you could see a woman sitting on a bench. And I was like, we're really not supposed to go over there, but I'll give you guys the permission, just do it, because if it's the Lord talking, we should probably follow him. So they went over, they prayed for the woman, they told her about Christ, because she had, when they asked, she had nothing to do with Christ, didn't know anything about him, and was pretty much just confused on the whole situation, and even asked if she had to pay for us to pray. So while they were praying, the woman kept asking, like, what do I do with this now? What do I do to get closer with Christ? So they explained all that, and they were like, just talk with the Lord. He'll guide you through the path, and he'll take you wherever you need to be. And they ended up saying, do you want to say yes to Jesus as your Lord? And the woman said yes, which just let a spark in all of ours. And after this, my whole group was like, all right, let's keep going. Let's keep praying for others, because if it's one life we can change more. And this led a spark in me too, because I had to lead and like watch the two girls pray for her, because we're in Puerto Rico, none of us even know the town there. And I had to watch them and make sure everything's okay. And pretty much just know that God's with us the whole time we were there.
Awesome. So first and foremost, I want to give a disclaimer. Yes, Trey was leading the group of students, and he was kind of directing and watching over them and making sure nothing bad would happen, but there also were adults. There was a adult with him, but the cool part was that the adults, literally we took steps back, right? And we allowed the students to really lead on their own and kind of figure that out and navigate, and Trey took a risk. Right, because they each had a map of the city in a very specific area, a road that they were supposed to stay on, primarily because we needed to know where they were, right? Like we had 50-some students in Puerto Rico walking around Old San Juan, so we wanted to make sure we could keep track. Plus, most of us, I mean, I've been there a couple times, but a lot of the students have never been, so that way they wouldn't wander off into areas unknown. But I want to share some insight into Trey. I've known Trey since he was in his mom's womb, literally. And Trey is very content and very happy with hanging out. And what I mean by that is Trey, if you ask him, he doesn't see himself as a leader. He doesn't see himself as someone who's going to take charge and kind of direct people and lead them. He is just happy being one of the boys. But Trey has also had a lot of people speaking into him, because when we see something in somebody, we like to speak into that. And so Trey has been spoken into numerous times about leadership, because if you watch Trey, people follow. Whatever Trey is doing, others want to do, and it doesn't matter if they're younger, if they're older, Trey is a natural leader. And so, you know, we've talked that we want to harness that and teach Trey what it means to lead for Christ. Because if he's not leading for Christ, he's going to be leading for something, and what would that look like? And so I want to give you guys a biblical foundation of a lot of what's going on, and probably one of the most popular people in the Old Testament. We're going to be talking about David, right? We know David is the king of Israel. David and Goliath, he slayed the giant with a sling and a stone. All of these amazing, wonderful things that he's did. He's written, he was a worshiper, wrote Psalms, just so much. But there was a David before King David. And so we want to talk through that a little bit because I want to point out some things that were going on in David's life. And then I want you to look at how that's going on today in these students' lives. And so David, he grew up in a town called Bethlehem. And Samuel was the prophet of the time. And Samuel, he anointed King Saul as the king of Israel. And King Saul ended up doing some things he probably shouldn't have done. Like going against what God told him to do. Probably shouldn't do that. And so God took his favor off of Saul. And so I want to pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I've rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons as king." And so we see here, verse 1, right off the bat in this chapter, that God chooses leaders. These students that went to Project Timothy, that took time out of their day, that you all have supported, are leaders that have been chosen by God. Whether they realize it or not, they are leaders in their church, in their community, in their school, in their homes. Because the Lord has appointed them, has deemed them to be leaders. And so we can go further down, and you can read through later on. We just won't have enough time. But Samuel goes to Bethlehem, and he meets Jesse, and he tells him that we're going to sacrifice and worship God together, and then I want you to bring your family. And I want you to bring your family, and we're gonna have a meal, and we're going to hang out. Samuel knows, I'm going to find our next king because God's going to point him out to me. So Jesse, rounds up all the boys, right? Lines them up in front of Samuel. Now, you have to understand, there were all of his sons, seven of them, and the oldest, working their way down, I imagine like a tray, right? He is a larger in stature. He was actually in the military, like a man's man, right? You would look at him and be like, yeah, that dude's a king. And in fact, when Jesse presents his son and Samuel sees the first son, he's like, ooh, that's my man right here. God, this is him, right? But God says no. God's like, nope, he's not it. So Samuel says, okay, how about this one, the next one, and the next one. And they end up going through all of Jesse's kids, and he doesn't see who God has put his hand on. The God's like, none of them. And so I want to pick up a little bit in verse 11. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons that you have? Like, because it doesn't make sense. Like, God told me that I'm going to come and I'm going to meet you and all of your sons and he's going to anoint one. And Jesse answered, they're still the youngest. He's out tending to the sheep. Samuel says, send for him, and we will not sit down until he arrives. Amen. So you understand, the person in a family that's tending to the sheep, it is not a righteous, a proud position to hold. It is normally the lowest servant in a house is the one that goes out and is tending to the sheep. It's the one that is supposed to defend the flock from the bears and the wolves and sleep out in the field at night. It's not something you would normally send your son out to do, but Jesse has. And so I kind of want to share a little bit about this, and like, because I immediately think, well, why would Jesse send his son out there, and why would God be looking for this boy? And so we're going to show a video, and I want to share a little bit of another student's story. And so you guys are going to hear from Zoe, and then we're going to continue talking through this.
My name is Zoe. I'm a second year at Project Timothy. And last year, I received a word from a pastor that I had no idea who he was. And he told me to join the worship team and that he really liked my voice and stuff. And I kind of brushed it off, and he told Natasha, and I brushed that off too. And then these four girls from Texas told me the same thing. And once we got back to Florida, Natasha brought it back up, and I basically told her no. But this year, I kind of just been hearing like words about it and going for it, and I was just told it's better to fall face forward to Jesus than just neglect my gift, if that's what it's called, I guess. But yeah, so now we're going to work towards the worship team.
And I love this because, so the first night, Zoe and I got to have a conversation. She was telling me that these were the conversations from last year, and people praying over her and speaking into her and speaking about worship. And she's legitimately like, nah, nope, not doing it. And then again this year, as she goes back for her second year, more people that don't even know the conversations from last year are speaking worship over her. And she's like, I mean, okay, I guess. And so I asked her, I'm like, hey, listen, so I have a legitimate question. Do you even sing? Because I've never heard you sing. And I feel like that's kind of important, right? Like if you're being called to worship as a someone to lead others in worship and sing, like you should probably be able to sing. And so I said, Zoe, do you sing? And she goes, yeah. At home. And I just started laughing because then she shows me a text, and I love the story because she's like, look, this was just the other day. It's 10:30 at night, and I'm in my room. I'm worshiping. I'm singing. I'm just having a good old time. And my mom's got to get up from work, so she texts me, shh. And then there's another text. I'm worshiping. You shush. I'm like, Zoe, you can't do that. She goes, I was joking. Look, she said, ha ha. I'm like, okay. But there's something beautiful about what God sees in her. And it's the same thing that God saw in David in the field. Because even when he was tending to the sheep and he was protecting the herd from the wolves and the bears and sleeping on the ground, the same as when Zoe is alone by herself and she's worshiping Jesus, God sees her heart. And if you want to know what a Christian looks like, what God looks for in a Christian, it's the condition of your heart. And he sees her heart and he rejoices in her voice to him. And he rejoices in knowing that even though she's afraid and she doesn't worry about the, as Pedro so eloquently put it, the rock star status, but she just wants to worship Jesus and he's calling her to do that. But also in that, she gets to lead us to Jesus' presence in worship. What an amazing calling. To know that the Lord sees something in you, the condition of your heart, and he's like, yes, this is my chosen one. This is the one that's going to lead in worship. Even though this little boy is in the field, he's going to be king. And we can read further down, and when it says that when Daniel arrives, Samuel sees him. I'm sorry, David arrives, not Daniel. When David arrives, Samuel sees him, and when he sees him, he's small in stature. Other translations use the word ruddy. Not ready, ruddy, with two U's. I'm like, what the heck does that mean? It means small. He's a good-looking boy, but he's small. Pale skin, which is really rough if you're in the Middle East, out in the fields, all day. But the Lord sees more than what we can normally see with our eyes when we look at someone. And that's the beauty of what God has that we don't. The Lord sees your heart. And so, I'm going to show these next two videos, and then we're going to talk because it's some of my favorite passages in this scripture. But more importantly, I want you guys to be able to hear from Christine and Lizzie.
Hi, my name is Christine Frostman, and this is my third year at Project Timothy. I felt a calling towards missions, and I felt that calling since I was a freshman in high school. And my first year at Project Timothy was right after my freshman year in high school. So every year since then, it's kind of built. But this year, it's felt like all of those lessons have been less general and more just very directly centered around this calling, especially because I'm about to be a senior in high school. I still feel this calling. And I just feel that urgency towards this calling more than ever. Probably the one that impacted me the most was when we had a missions sermon teaching. And basically, it kind of just reminded me of the urgency and just renewed that sense of urgency in me towards my calling, towards that calling, especially since I am a senior in high school. And that calling feels closer now than ever. And I've been really wrestling with, how am I going to do that? When am I supposed to do that? Am I supposed to do that now? How, like, should I even do this? And it's really just gotten rid of any of those doubts. And instead of the Lord giving me a direct answer of what I'm supposed to do right now and how am I supposed to do it, he's been telling me this whole time that, yes, I'm supposed to do it, but I'm not going to get an answer right now. I just need to trust in him. And he'll reveal to me how I'm going to do that, and he'll take me along the ride, but I'm not going to know. I just need to trust in him.
Hi, my name's Lizzie, and this is my second year at Project Timothy. This year at Project Timothy, I've really been exploring what it means to be a woman and a young believer in ministry. As I enter into ministry via teaching or just mentoring, whatever it is, I've always received a little bit of pushback being a woman. And this year at Project Timothy, I've really felt empowered to continue walking in that. And I've now felt that it's okay via the Great Commission. And Project Timothy is such a beautiful organization because it has really empowered me and made me feel like it's okay to be one, young in ministry, and also a woman. And it's been a really beautiful experience this year, just like it was last year.
So Lizzie is one of our students. Her parents, they live up in Michigan, and they come down here in the wintertime, and their whole family has just not only been amazing people, but they have really just meshed, and the students love hanging out with Lizzie and her younger sister and brother, but it's so cool to watch them grow. And so, you know, Lizzie and I talked about this a bit, and she was telling me that over the past year, because she, from a very young age, has felt a calling to teaching. She has felt a calling to, whether it's being a pastor or a teacher, something along those lines, that she's supposed to spread God's word through teaching. And in the past year, she's really had some people speaking into that, unfortunately, negatively, saying that, well, women can't be in leadership in church. And one thing that I truly, truly love about our church and pastors Jamie and Kim and the Vineyard as a whole is we know and believe how wrong that is. And I asked her, I said, hey, I got a question. Do you know who in the New Testament led and ran the first home church? And she kind of looked at me and said, a woman. And then we got to talk about that a little more, and you could see that something was really bothering her. And then Ruby, who is one of our leaders who was with us, who grew up through this church and Nova and Project Timothy, who for the first year has gone back as a leader, not a student or intern, got to speak into it because she's going into her second year of college, and she actually wrote an entire paper on it. And so she's like, hey, I have some resources for you. And other pastors spoke into it and said, hey, I have some resources for you. And they sent them to her, and they're like, you know, we got to have such good conversation about it and release that off of her. That God doesn't care if you're a man or a woman, what you look like, what color your skin is, where you're from. If he calls you to leadership, he calls you. He looks at the heart, not the outward appearance. And then, Christine. If any of you know Christine, I will just bear with me for a second. Those of you that don't know Christine, if you were to imagine taking all of the caffeine and energy drinks and everything that you could possibly get your hands on and compress it down into a container and then light that with a fuse, that explosion is Christine's energy, which is amazing, and I love it, and I love her heart and her heart for people. And years ago, she got a word of missions, and it's been her passion, it's been her desire. She has constantly wrapped herself in the world of missions and trying to figure this out. But we've had a overall theme that the Lord has put over Project Timothy this year. Not one that we planned, as we spent the last year planning for Project Timothy and what we're going to do and how it's going to look and sound and smell and what food we're going to have. But the Lord always seems to put a theme. And this year's theme was wait. Just wait. Because as students have had words in the past or visions or something put on them, whatever you want to call it, this year, he's like, yes, you have a heart for worship. Yes, you have a heart for teaching. Yes, you have a heart for missions. Now, let's work through that. Just wait. I don't need to give you more words. I want you to take time and work into those words that you've already been given. And so, even here, as we see back to Samuel and David, when David was presented before Samuel, the Lord says, rise, anoint him. This is the one. Verse 13, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And this is probably my favorite verse in the entire section. Samuel left. He left. Now imagine you were called out of the fields, you were called out of tending to the sheep to be presented before the prophet of their time who anointed Saul as king over Israel, and he anoints you now. That's it. Samuel didn't take David and raise up an army and dethrone the king. He didn't do anything other than what the Lord had told him to do. And they say, and when you read through this a little bit in commentaries and in other literature, that it was about 20 years from the point of David's anointing to the time that he became king. You see, there's a time and a place that the Lord has planned out for everything. And whatever that is in your life, whatever calling you have on your life, there has to be a foundation built first. And everybody's favorite word, patience. See, Christine, when she got the word for missions, she didn't just be like, okay, let's go. We're going to go do missions. Where are we going to go? And run to another country and not know the language and not know what she was supposed to do and not know how to really facilitate anything. And Lizzie, when she got the word of teaching at such a young age, she didn't just drop everything that she was doing and start teaching in churches and in youth groups and wherever she went. They have to have a foundation built on the words that the Lord has given them. They have to have the training. They have to have the education. They have to do it in God's timing. And so a lot of students this year in Project Timothy have really learned what that looked like, what that sounds like, and start to build that foundation. Start to build that process of, okay, this is what the Lord has called me to. Now, how do we do it? And so we've had the opportunity to hear from some of our fourth-year students in Trey who the Lord has called leadership into, who doesn't see himself as a leader, who doesn't really even want to be in that role, but the Lord just keeps, go. And then we've heard from third-year students and second-year students who the Lord has poured into words and like, hey, this is what I've called you to. This is what you need to be doing. But let's do it together. Let's wait. Let's focus on how we do this, not so much let's do something else too. And so I want to take a second Well, not a second, more than a second. But I want to bring another student up to kind of share what happened for her in Project Timothy. And this is Pella. Pella is a first-year student, and it was her first time going. But I'm going to let her speak to you for a second, kind of share her story.
Hi, everyone. This is my first year into Project Timothy, and I had expectations going in, but I never really expected the presence of God I would feel. Just during worship and during prayer, I felt like he was holding my hand the entire time. I felt like he was surrounding me so much more than I've ever experienced before. And just hearing different words, I heard a word of guidance, just being told that he's going to guide me in a certain direction, whether it's right or wrong. There is no right or wrong decision. And with that, I feel like he's calling me to serve here and to even start a small group again. And I don't know what I'm going to do yet with that, but if I do decide, I just know that he's guiding me through the whole entire way, and that I can build connections that way and just really serve for my church, because I feel like that's what I want to do. And I can't wait to make more memories and connections next year and just share my experience.
So Pella and her family have recently, within the past year, 2 years, come to the church. And I remember my first encounter with them when I got to meet them. And Pella is just like, not so outgoing at first, I would say. Little shy. But she has grown into what others have seen in her, what others have spoken to her. And it's so amazing to watch. And the best part to me is when we first talked about Project Timothy and how we would love for her to join us this summer, where she was like, okay. And we got to talk to her parents about it. And her parents were like, yeah, absolutely. But the coolest part is even when we went, Pella really didn't know what to expect. She didn't know anything that was really going to happen. But she said yes. And I started thinking about this, and it brought me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I love this, and I love this for you guys. So please take, sit on this for a second. This is where Samuel was actually dropped off to the temple, and his mom said, I can't take care of my son. I can't. Just please take him, feed him, help him grow, watch over him. And so there was one night that Samuel, as a little boy, was sleeping next to the altar, and he heard his name called, Samuel, Samuel. And he runs in, and he looks at Eli, and he goes, hey, what's up? Eli wakes up, he's like, what, dude? I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So he goes, he lays back down, and again, he hears his name, Samuel. Samuel jumps up, runs over, wakes him up again. Dude, I didn't call you. Let me sleep. So he goes and lays back down. And we're going to pick this up in verse 7 of 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that it was the Lord that was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go, lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Pella didn't know what to expect. She didn't know what it looked like, what it sounded like. She knew really nothing about Project Timothy except for we told her the fun, the different things that were going to happen. But she didn't know what the Lord was going to do in her life. She heard some stuff from other students, but she realized very quickly, because she's a smart person, yeah, that's what they said to her, but what's going to happen with me? But the most important thing is she said, here I am, Lord. What do you want from me? What can I do? Lord, how is it that you want to use me? See, Pella had a willingness, even in the not knowing and the not understanding. She had a willingness to answer the call that the Lord has put on her. And he's spoken to her about that more. And as you heard, she's ready to learn what that looks like and how to go about those things. But first and foremost, she had to say yes. And I feel that there are some of you that are in here today, that some of you that the Lord has spoken to, that maybe has held your hand and you weren't really sure what was going on. All he's asking for is your yes. All he's asking for is for you to say, "Here I am, Lord," and he will provide the rest. Some of you might have had that experience and grew up in church or have had a walk with Christ and you're just like, nah, I'm not doing that. And that's okay. Fear is a real thing. Concern, doubt is a real thing. But the Lord just wants your yes. He wants you to be willing. It's better to fall forward on our faces towards Jesus than to run from him. It's better when we don't know what to do, we don't have an understanding, to say, "Okay, God, I have no idea, but I know I've tried on my own and I've done everything I can and I fail miserably. Let me try it your way. Let me just even just see what this is like."